Chaitanya Bhagavat Ki Jai. We left off yesterday, we were all together sitting in a line in Panihati. In Raghava Pandit's house, Nityananda's there and all of his six traveling associates that are with him. And they're all being served wonderful feast of prasadam. Purandara Pandit, Krishnadas Parameshri, Raghunath Vaidya, Ramdas, Gadahar Das. And they're all together with Nityananda, and we're sitting there, and Damayanti serving out a wonderful feast. And then Nityananda was, he started his preaching. And this is chapter 5, text 264. Yateke achila prema bhaktira vikar. Sama prakashya nritya karena apar. Nityananda manifested all the various transformations of bhakti, prema bhakti vikar, as he danced wonderfully. Prakashya nritya karena apar. Apara nritya. Incomparable transcendental dancing. Katakshane vasilena katara upare. Agya Haila Abhisheka Kari Bharatari. After some time, Nityananda sat down on the deity throne and instructed the devotees to perform Abhishek. So here the Avadhut is acting like Avadhut. He's unpredictable behavior. And he's sitting on the deity throne, the Singhasan, which obviously is occupied by some deities, the house deities, the Gar Thakur of Raghava Pandit. And now he's sitting there. He's gone up there and sat down. And he told the devotees to Abhishek. And no one had any hesitation. Raghava Pandit Adi Parisharagan Abhisheka Karite Lagila Sekshane. Raghava Pandit and Nityananda's other associates immediately began to perform Abhishek. So they organized a huge Abhishek for Nityananda. So it seems that they're not too quickly taking to the task of preaching to the conditioned souls. He left Puri, he was supposed to go to Bengal and preach and distribute prema. And first thing he do, he went to Raghava Pandit's house because, like sometimes when sannyasis, they come to Delhi, they call different ladies that are famous cooks. And even I remember I went to Madras, this kind of one lady, she said, oh, you know, all the sannyasis, I cook for all the sannyasis. Because she was bringing food for Banaswami and I. And he introduced her. I said, why so? She said, they all like my cooking. So she was famous for very expert cooking. And then all the sannyasis, she would get to serve them. She had a lot of devotion and she's very expert. So what to speak of Raghava Pandit and Damayanti? They're both expert cooks. So they're going preaching. Okay, let's go to Bengal and preach. Oh, hey, listen, boys. Guess, hey, look, we're nearby Raghava Pandit's house. Before we just tackle jug eyes and mud eyes, let's stop at Raghava Pandit's and get a nice meal. Spend a little time there. So now they've gone there, they had a nice meal. Now he's not saying, okay, thank you, now we'll eat and run. Now we have to go preaching, we have this water on our heads, Gauranga's Agya, we have to go preach. He thought, no, let's have another Leela here. Let's churn the ocean of Ras even more. So they're really churning the ocean of Ras and exchanging mellows of ecstatic love and Madhava Goshas, singing such wonderful Vrindavan, Bhajan, Kirtan. Everyone's dancing in ecstasy and Nityananda's roaring and he seems to be completely oblivious to the order of Lord Chaitanya to go and preach. Yari Deke Tari Kaha Krishna Upadesh Amra Agai Guru Hanatanadesh. He says, yeah, Chalega, later. Well, let's take some nice prasadam, let's dance and chat with the devotees. Now let's expand the Leela amongst ourselves. Because the Lord primarily comes to relish rasa with his devotees, first of all. And then secondarily, he preaches the conditioned souls for the benefit, for the with our work of establishing religion and saving the conditioned souls are also his devotees, conditioned devotees, covered devotees. So now he's enacted this whole Abhishek Leela, impromptu, spontaneous Leela. That, boys, let's have an Abhishek. Just like someone, you know, some friends of yours come into your house and they bring some musical instruments and they start setting up some amplifiers. What's happening? We're going to have a party. Acha. Yeah, we're the musicians. Call your friends. You know, it's a happening. Just get together. Devotees often do that. They say, what are you doing? Okay, let's have kirtan. Let's go on Harinam. They just run out. Spontaneous, spur of the moment. They don't plan everything. They just follow the spontaneous rising and movements of their own feelings of devotional expression for the Lord. So out of nowhere, Lord, he's had a nice feast, and usually after you have a big feast, you want to take rest. But he's busy singing, dancing, and now he's decided he wants to have a bath. So he could go in the bathroom, a bathhouse, and take a bath, or go out to the water pump. I go out to the pukor. In Bengal, they have different pukors. They have pukors for bathing and pukors for washing the pots and pans that they cook in. They also have pukors or lakes for washing your clothes. When you go to the Bengal villages, if you live there, which I haven't sometimes, I visited Bharatpur. There's a Bharatpur in Bengal and some other villages, and they instruct you. They say, this here you can wash your clothes in this lake, and this lake is for men's bathing. So the villages, everything is demarcated and very much segregated. And so now he could have gone there to take a bath, but he didn't. He just climbed up on the Didi throne because he's Anathashesh, he's Balaram, he's Chaturvyuha, he's Sankarshan, he's Krishna, he's Vishnu, he's Purushavatars, everything in one. So they're getting a lot of benefit by bathing Nityananda. They're bathing Anathashesh and Sridakshaya Vishnu, Mahavishnu and Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. And Balarama and everyone. So he sat there, and then Raghava Pandit Adi Parishadagan Abhisheka Karite Lagila Sekshane. Raghava Pandit and all the other associates of the Lord immediately performed Abhishek. It wasn't a small time operation. When you take a bath, you have one bucket of water and you just go in there, zip, 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 and you're finished. And you don't spend much time there. But Lord Nityananda was having a rather elaborate bath, and Vrindavan Das Thakur describes the details. And sahasra sahasra ghat ani ganga jal nana gande suvasita hariya sakal. The water, they bought thousands of pots of ganga jal mixed with scented oils. Or it could be, it says nana gande suvasita hariya sakal. Suvas makes the body very nice. Just as the varieties of Ganda. So generally, that's possible. They have oil-scented water they can do. But generally, in Thakurji's Abhishek, the scented of the... Because it just says Nana Gande. It doesn't say Telam or anything like that at this particular point. And generally, Didi bath is, the water is made warm in the winter. Even if the Pajari worshipper is bathing in cold water, he doesn't subject the Lord to the same torture. Because the Lord is not a Brahma, Lord is not a Brahmachari. And he's not taking a cold bath in the morning because it's good for health, which it is. Nice phenomenon. If you take a cold bath in the morning, you feel warm afterwards and throughout the day. It's like Shreyas and Prayas. Happiness in the mode of passion, happiness in the mode of goodness. Happiness in the mode of passion is, nice. Hot bath, geyser on full blast. And then you feel like passionately happy for a few moments. Then when you get out, oh, I'm freezing. So cold, so cold, so cold. And you're putting on so many clothes and then I'm still cold and still cold, and then you run around, jump around, this, that. So this is the sattvic happiness is poison in the beginning and nectar in the end. And endless, and his poison beginning and endless nectar in the end. And happiness and what a passion is temporary limited pleasure in the beginning and unlimited poison in the end. So this is the nature of, but he's taking his, so the water is warm and it's scented with flowers. Generally, this flower scented water, this is what we read. Sometimes in the summer, the water is cool and it's powdered kaffir is mixed in it, which makes it even more cooling. Kaffirated water. So this is a very wonderful bath of Nityananda. Santoshe sabaya dena shri mastako padi charidike sabaya balena hari hari. Everyone happily poured water on Nitai's head, and they all chanted the name of Hari in the four directions. So this bathing is always a very, whenever Thakurji is bathed, there's lots of kirtan, lots of bells being rung. We were once in Mayapur ISKCON, Nrisimha Chaturdasi, the Abhishek of Nrisimhadev. Jayapati Thakur Swami came there, and the day before he was organizing, or that morning actually, and he said, listen, I want to reorganize maybe the day before. He said, tomorrow for the Abhishek, I want everyone in the community involved. There's quite a few hundred people there. I want so many, I want 50, 60, 80 boys chanting Brahma Samhita. He wanted so many, like big numbers, because there's a lot of devotees, so he wanted to engage them all in the Abhishek. And I want so many people blowing conch shells. I want so many people, I want volunteers for blowing conch shells. Grihastas will bring them from home or whatever. So they raised their hand, I want so many people to ring bells. I want so many people to chant shlokas. I want so many like this. And then he said, I want to divide it. I want to have men on one side and women on the other side. I want the whole atmosphere should be surcharged with sound when the Sringadevas bathe. So there was quite an amazing event, actually. And the next day there was, in the evening, afternoon time, when the bathing goes on, there was all these devotees from Gurukul, 60, 80 devotees chanting Brahma Samhita together, and there are bells being rung, and conch shells being, and kirtans everywhere, and all kinds of kirtans, simultaneous kirtans, 7 or 8 or 10 different kirtans going on simultaneously. I don't know if there's any particular application, only the person. Oh, I think maybe the Japurna was doing a fire yagya also in the middle of it all. Big fire yagya. And I think he and his boys were amplified, so you hear this. Swaha, it's like, you know, Hare Krishna, and everywhere. It was like amazing. And this we can understand that the joyous, when Krishna's Nandotsav festival and Krishna is born and all the Vrishvasis are celebrating his appearance, it must be something like that. So you'll see in the description how everyone was pretty much involved. And they were pouring water on his head, and for all four directions everyone was chanting Hari, Hari, Hari. And this is told also by Jiva Goswami. When one does pujari work, or does puja, especially in the age of Kali, the puja, the Lord will only accept the puja if it's accompanied by Nam Sankirtan. Because there's so many doshas. Kalera dosha na dheiraja nasti eka mahagana. Kirtana Deva Krishna Siya Mukta Sangha Parambrajet. So this Kali Yuga, and we in this Kali Yuga, are full of dosh and faults. And greed and anger, lust, envy, fault-finding tendencies, misjudgment, misapprehension, miscalculation, mistakes. Everyone's prone, every conditioned soul is prone to make mistakes, and a cheating propensity and imperfect senses. And what's the other one? Illusion. But in Kali Yuga, it's not only prone, we're just made of those things. We're made of imperfect senses, we're made of mistakes, we're made of illusion, we're made of cheating. So it's difficult to find a situation where these four principles are not in full bore being expressed by one or two or more individuals. So therefore, when one does puja, then he imports all these undesirables into his worship of the Lord. And he makes mistakes. And he gets illusionary, falls asleep while he's doing puja. So to counteract that and to purify that those tendencies and to make this service acceptable to the Lord, then one surrounds all of his actions and movements with the chanting of the Nam Sankirtan. Puja itself is full of Nam Sankirtan because the Upachara article has a mantra, Idam Pushpam. I mean, that's the mantra for offering flowers. But then the Thakurji, each Thakurji has his Bija Mantra. And if it's Krishna, the Bija Mantra is Kling. Kling Krishnayanama, Kling Girijarayanama. So this mantra is there. So therefore, Nam Sankirtan is being regularly chanted. But moreover, Jiva Goswami says, these are mantras, of course. Kling Krishnayanama, Kling Girijarayanama. They're mantras and they're praying Nam of Krishna. But he actually says one should perform Nam Sankirtan. So that would mean generally singing. So that's why in temples there's always lots of kirtan. So they're bathing the Lord and they're chanting the name of Hari in all four directions. Geisha Nam Sankirtan. Sabe Padena Abhisheka Mantra Gita Paramasantoshe Sabe Haila Pulakita. They all chanted the mantras and songs that were appropriate for Abhishek. And everyone's hair stood on end as they became filled with great satisfaction. So, apparently there's all kinds of wonderful songs and mantras that can go, mantra Gita, Abhishek Gita, that can go with Abhishek. And they're feeling thrilled. All the devotees are bathing the Lord, yeah, but they're feeling ecstatic. That's kind of like someone cooks and they serve out their guests. And the guests are enjoying the bhoga, or the food, the prasadam. And they may enjoy it so much and serve so much that it's all served out. There's no more left. But then the person who cooked and served, they feel so happy. They feel so satisfied. And what is the source of their satisfaction? The source of their satisfaction is the satisfaction of others. Others are being satisfied with my offering of devotion, with my offering of food, and then automatically we become satisfied. Because it doesn't say that they worked at it. They didn't work at feeling ecstatic. It's not something you can work at. I'm going to work myself up into ecstasy. Either you, as a byproduct of your activities or association, you become ecstatic or joyful. So they're simply rendering service, and the object of enjoyment, the receiver, the recipient of the enjoyment is Nityananda. And he's the master, he's the enjoyer. And they're simply serving. They're the servants, serving him. But look at how they're sharing in the ecstasies. Parama Santosha Pulakita. They're Romanchakampa Sutranga Vajra Pulakam. Their hairs are standing in because they're feeling ecstatic and their Santosha is satisfied. So what do we draw from this? The conclusion is that service genuinely performed along with Nam Sankirtan produces satisfaction. Service genuinely performed along with Nam Sankirtan produces satisfaction. So we serve and we chant. We cook and we chant. We do puja and we chant. It's Nam Sankirtan. And then they became filled with satisfaction to the point of ecstasy. One thing is to be satisfied. Oh, I'm satisfied, santosh. Completely satisfied. To be ecstatic, that's like an extremely accelerated state of satisfaction. So satisfaction is a mental state. One feels satisfied in the mind. Peaceful, collected, undisturbed. He's satisfied. But then ecstasy is a position of the heart. It's a swirling of emotions. It's a swirling of emotions in the heart, which first appear there. They appear in the heart, and they expand in the heart. And as they expand from the heart, then they touch the mind. Then the mind expands those feelings and heartfelt sensations to the senses. Then they register as bhavas, ecstatic bhavas, transformations, vikars. So they're rendering service, their hearts are feeling so happy to serve Nityananda, assist him in his pleasure pastimes, And then that ecstasy is transferring to the mind and feeling satisfied. So sometimes we can do activities by which we're satisfied but not ecstatic. But if we do activities by which we become ecstatic, then automatically we become satisfied. So devotional activities, devotional service, are those type of activities which produce ecstasy and automatically satisfaction. Abhishek is padasevanam, or rather you could say it's shringar, archanam. Archanam, abhishek is part of archanam. And vandanam, so they're doing archanam and vandanam. They're offering prayers, as said, they're offering selected prayers and songs to the Lord plus non-sankirtan. So they're doing vandanam, archanam, vandanam. They go together usually. And one does puja, then he offers prayers. Puja and pat. Abhisheka karaya nutana vasana paraya lepi lena shriyange chandana. After completing the abhishek, they dressed Nityananda in new cloth and smeared his body with sandalwood pulp. Shriyanga chandana lepi lena. Nutana vasana, new cloth, because he's God. And this is ideal, to offer the Lord new clothes every day. I'm sure there are people in the world that are so wealthy and so fickle, and they wear new clothes every day. There's some people who wear the same clothes every day, even without bathing. Or they bathe and wear the same clothes. Like the bums in the Bowery and Prabhupada's in New York City. They wore the same clothes day in and day out. Even they would even pass urine in the clothes because they were drunk. And then it would dry out in the day. And they were very, very degraded situation. And because of the tamagun. And they were sleeping right outside Prabhupada's door, where he lived. Prabhupada's state is very interesting. One place he stayed in was called AIR. AIR is an area of Lower East Side of New York. I don't know if it's like that anymore. But I saw there, I went there, my brother was living there near Prabhupada. I went there in 1970 or 69 to that Second Avenue place. Not knowing that the Hare Krishna temple was there. My brother lived nearby. And I saw those places in the same area, same neighborhood. And there's a lot of warehouses there on the basement, on the ground floor. It's a big, big warehouse. It's near the water. It's near the harbor. Then the upstairs is kind of like a loft. It's a low building. So you go up the stairs and there's like a low ceiling. And they would do, it was just a flat area, like an attic, we call an attic. And it was not, it was a very temporary floor, and it was just kind of a temporary room, you could say. And it was called loft, L-O-F-T, loft. And it was, and the whole east side was like that, and that's where all hippies live, because it was really cheap rent. So some guy lived there, some LSD guy or something, that gave Prabhupada, let him, forget his name, but he went a little crazy, and then Prabhupada left there. But he was living there, and Prabhupada was just living in the YMCA, Young Men's Christian Association, Dharmashala, a Dharmashala for bums and whatnot. The same bums with the pee in their pants. They would take shelter there at night because if they lived on the street, they would freeze to death. So in the wintertime, they would open these shelters and let all the bums come in there. And there were hundreds of them. Vagabonds and derelicts and drunkards and no home men or older men usually. And then there was Prabhupada. A lotus among the crows. So it wasn't like temple atmosphere with lots of fragrant incense swirling around. It was bums that were drunk, and sometimes they would drink cheap whiskey, and they would throw up at night. and the bedrooms next to Prabhupada. And the place is set up in such a way there's no actual walls. I've seen also. And the YMCAs, they have what they call partitions. In a bathroom, you go in a bathroom in the airport or something, there's partitions separating the latrines, but they don't go all the way up to the ceiling. They go up about 7 feet or whatever. So these little tiny door, like about a $5 door, with a little latch on it. And you go in, there's a little tiny steel bed, a little mattress on it, a little table, and some bare bulb in the middle of the room here and there. Big, big room. And there's 100 little rooms like that, about 3 feet wide. Each room's about 3 feet wide, like sardines. And open in the bottom, and there's the partition comes down about 2 feet, foot and a half from the bottom of the floor, and then it just goes up about 7 feet. So you can hear everything, and they throw up on the floor next to you, and so Prabhupada was staying there. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. And then he was offered by this hippie friend or whatever to come live with me in the AIR loft. So that whole area was called AIR, which means artist in residence. So you've seen Leela Amrita, Prabhupada stayed in AIR flat number 81 or whatever it was. So that means artist in residence. And little did they know that there was really a true artist was living there in the East Village. Prabhupada, he certainly is the greatest of artists. And he took a piece of canvas. He took a piece of canvas. And the canvas is the sky of the material world. And then he took a palette of colors. Prabhupada took a palette with so many colors. Then on that canvas, the sky canvas, the material world, taking his palette in his left hand, Prabhupada mixed those paints, and then he painted a beautiful painting there on the sky canvas of the material world. And on that painting, he painted 5,000 disciples. And then he offered the painting to Radha and Krishna. So then they hung the painting on the wall of their palace at Nandagram. And then Krishna walks and says, see, this is Swami Prabhupada's painting. And see, all these are all his disciples were painted over here. And they're one by one coming here. And see, these are already here. This is so-and-so, he's over here, and she's over here. Of course, Prabhupada is there. So Prabhupada is really saved everyone. And we're all thankful for that. So now it says that they chanted mantras and their hairs were standing in end, and then they dressed him. Then Divya Vana Mala Taya Tulasi Sahite Pina Vaksha Purna Karilena Nanamate. He decorated his broad chest with garlands of forest flowers and tulsi leaves. So this is appropriate. He's wearing a tulsi mala and a flower mala. It says that a garland that doesn't have tulsi in it is not complete. If you see in 10th canto of Bhagavatam, when the gopis are offering garlands to Krishna, there's always some tulsi mandris woven in the garland as described in Sanskrit. Pushpasara Tulasi. One prayer in glorifying Tulsi Devi says she's Pushpasara Tulasi, Vrindavan Vrindavani, Vishwapavani Vishwapujita, Vrinda Vrindavani, Krishnanandi, Krishnanandani Tulasi, Pushpasara, Krishnanandani something, Pushpasara Tulasi. So all the flowers, the essence of all flowers is Tulsi. So they're observing the Niyam of puja, and they're offering Nityananda a tulsi garland and so many other flower garlands. There's so many pastimes like this of Nityananda climbing on some singhasan getting worshipped. And Shivas Thakur's house, he also did the same thing. How long? Oh, that was Lord Chaitanya, rather. Lord Chaitanya did that. Shataprahari Leela. 21 hours he sat there. Lord Chaitanya did. Now Nityananda is doing here. And there's other examples. I can't remember Nityananda. But at least here he's really in full form. Because many of the six devotees traveling with him, they're actually his Dwadasa Gopals. Not all. But there is eternal servants in the form of Lord Balaram. So now they're worshipping him. Tabi divya katta swarne kariya bhushita samoke aniya karilena upanita. They brought an opulent throne decorated with gold and placed it before him. Swarna bhushita. Kathaya vasila prabhuvara nityananda chaturdari lena shire shri raghavananda. Nityananda sat on a throne and Raghavananda held an umbrella over his head, as one does for a king. The Lord and the king, if you go to South India, when they take the deities on procession, Udupi Sri Krishna or Guru Vayur, this Vishnu deity, Guru Vayur, or I've seen Sri Rangam, they have Utsav deities, or even Jagannath, when they take Jagannath out, the Utsav deities, Madan, Mohan, and Panch Pandavas, they bring the Utsav deities out of the temple and take to Narendra Sarovara or Chandanyatra for a boat ride. This Nokavihar and then Chandanyatra in a day and then Nokavihar at night for 21 days. I've seen it, I was there. And they have a big white umbrella they carry over the king and over the Lord. So this is a sign of the king or the Lord. A chatra, chatra darilena shire. The chatra, the umbrella is over his head, they're holding it. Jayadwani karite lagila bhaktagan chaturdiki haila maha ananda vadan. The devotees began to chant jai jai. Musical instruments produced ecstatic vibrations in four directions. So now the music, we heard they were chanting and so many shlokas and stutis and stotrams. Now there's also musical instruments. Trahi trahi sabe balena bahutuli karo bhaya nahi sabe mahakutuhali. Everyone raised their arms and exclaimed, save us, save us. They were in such ecstasy that they forgot themselves. Maybe they forgot about being saved also. If you forget everything, you'll forget that too. Swananu bhavanande prabhu nityanandarai prema drishti vrishtikari charidike chai. In his own ecstatic swa-anubhav, ananda, manifesting one after the other, manifesting different ecstasies within himself due to his own bliss, he showered everyone with ecstatic love in four directions by his merciful glance. Prema drishti vrishti chari dike chai. Prema drishti, it says merciful glance. It's more like love-filled glance, glance of love. Vrishti means varshan, varsha, shower. He showered them with his loving glances, alokadan. Agya karilena shuna raghava pandit kadambera mala jata anaha torita. Nitai said, Raghava, listen, quickly bring me garland of kadamba flowers. Bhara prita amara kadamba pushpa prati kadambera vane nitya amara vasati. I am very fond of kadamba flowers. In fact, I always reside in kadamba van. Kara jodha kariya raghavananda kai kadamba pushpera joga e samaye nahi. With folded hands, Raghavananda said, my lord, O Nitai, the kadamba flowers are not blossoming now. It is not their season. Prabhupada, Bharigya chaha bhalaman kadachita putya vatake konstan. Go home and look carefully. You may find some kadamba flowers blossoming somewhere. So this often happens. The Lord, of course, has the topmost powers of prediction and fulfillment. Itcha Shakti is part and parcel of his own array of unlimited Shaktis, Prasya Shakti Rivadaya Shriyate. And one of his Itcha Shakti, simply by his will, everything happens. Even the Christians have that concept in the Bible. By everything was made by the will of the Lord. So the Ichha Shakti, so he wills it happens. So devotees have Ichha Shakti also to some extent, depending on how connected they are to the source of Ichha Shakti. And they become like touchstones, or rather, let's say, not touchstones per se, although that can be there also, but they become like Chintamani. They're thought jewels. They fulfill the desires, whatever your chinta is, whatever your thinking is. Their jewel-like powers and prabhav can bring that to happen. We often see that. The devotees say, this is about, you do this, you get that. No, no, no. Oh, I went, oh, it happened. Devotees tell different things. So the Lord is empowering their words and making their words come true by extending his own Ichha Shakti throughout the length and breadth of his creation, which is totally influenced by his Ichha Shakti. As they say, what do they say? Not a blade of grass moves without the will of the Lord. Barira bitare giya chahena Raghava vismita haila deki maha anubhav. Raghava went inside his house. Raghava Nanda is another name for Raghava Pandit at this juncture. Because first he says, hey Raghava, then he says Raghava Nanda. As Raghava Nanda is serving Nityananda, so Raghava Pandit became Raghava Ananda. In the service of Nittai, it became very blissful. And he said, hey, Raghava Pandit, go in your house, get me some Kadama flowers. And much to his surprise, and he was wonderstruck, that when he went in his house, he saw something amazing. And we can only guess what that was. You have any idea? Jambi rera brikshe sava kadambera ful futtya achaye ati parama atul. He saw that there was a lime tree with the most amazing blooming kadamba flowers. Vanchakalpa triu. It's a kalpa triu. It's a tree. Vanchakalpa. But it fulfills your vancha, your desire. So the lime tree gave kadamba flowers, the kadamba tree gave lemons, and the lemon tree gave roses. This is a spiritual world. There's no limitation. Kiya purva varna se va kiya purva ganda se pushpa dekilekshaya jaya sarva banda. How wonderful was the color and fragrance of those flowers. All one's material bondage was destroyed by seeing those flowers. Apurva ganda sarva banda. Va kiya purva ganda jaya sarva banda. Well, that's quite a powerful flower. All the bondage to the material existence will be destroyed simply by seeing it. I guess if we take this in a metaphorical way, if we see the flower of Krishna's heart somehow in chanting the holy name, we're chanting Krishna's holy name, we have a chance to look into Krishna's heart. And if we can see the flower of his heart, then we'll smell that apurva ganda. Because prema has a ganda, prema ganda. And the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is praying in Chaitanya Charitamrita. I don't even have a whiff. I don't even have a scent of prema. He says, prema na ganda. Prema na ganda. If you see me crying, it's only because I have some cinders in my eye, or it's a hot day in the summer. And I'm just crying to relieve my sore eyes. I don't even have a scent of prema. Prema na ganda. So ganda, prema has a ganda, has a fragrance. So if one can chant the holy name in such a pure state of consciousness, he can see the heart of the Lord, see into the heart of the Lord, and smell an apurva ganda, a wonderful fragrance. Because when one chants Shudanam, then he also becomes fragrant, like a flower. So, Dekhiya Kadamba Pushpa Raghava Pandit. See, now you see his Raghava Pandit. Vayadura Gela Haila Mahahara Shita. When Raghava Pandit saw those Kadamba flowers blossoming on the lime tree, He lost his external consciousness. Bhaya-dhura. His bhaya-chit. His bhaya-chit, his external consciousness went dur. It went dur. It went far away. Very poetic way of saying he swooned, he fainted. We were discussing that the other day about Tarapati, a name for Chandra. The moon is rising in the sky, Chandra, we can say. We say that the Lord of the stars is rising in the evening sky. So then in Sanskrit they write Tarapati. So instead of saying he swooned, Murchita means swoon or fainted, say Bhayadur. Gila. His bhaya-chit, his external bhaya, his external consciousness went far away from him. He lost his external consciousness. He lost external consciousness. Bhaya-dura went far away. He lost it. We lose that external consciousness, then you faint. You become unconscious. That's what he did. And he made maha-harashita, became filled with jubilation. Apanasabhari-mala. Gantiya Satware Anilena Nityananda Prabhura Gochare. Nittai checked his emotions and quickly prepared a garland, which he brought to Nityananda Prabhu. By the order of Nityananda, Raghava Pandit found Kadamba flowers in the lime tree. He prepared a garland and offered it to Nityananda. It was impossible for Kadamba flowers to be blossoming at that time. But it happened. Those who have spiritualization don't argue about these things. A service-inclined heart, says Saraswati Thakur, checks a living entity's inclination for enjoying this material world and helps him enter the kingdom of bhakti. In that state, one's ego does not remain confined to mundane relationships. So when one's ego is super saturated with seva, bhakti and bhakti seva bhav, then he does not fall prey to the limitations of the material energy and think that it can't be done. Because in external ego we have considerations of I can't do it, I can do it. Because ego means I am. Aham. So in external material ego one thinks I can't do this. It can't be done. I can't do this. I can do this. But when one is a devotee, then impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary. Because his false ego gets replaced by true ego, which means I'm servant of the servant of the servant. If Krishna wants it done, then anything's possible. Through my little hands, through my form or my presence or my savor actions, the impossible possibility or impossible task can be completed successfully by the will of the Lord. But mine is not to hesitate and not try. Mine is not, I should not hesitate or let my ego block the flow of service, but rather submit, okay, Krishna wants this done, daso smi, let me try my best. As is being mentioned here that Saraswati is saying he surrendered to the order and then it was magically done. As we often hear, that the power to execute the order is in the order itself. He told him an impossibility. I want Kadamba flowers. You can't get. Wrong season. They're out of season. They're not available in the market or anywhere. No, you go. Okay, I'll go. And he very enthusiastically ran, look for those flowers. And then, hey, look. Because Krishna is doing everything. Krishna is making the flowers appear on the lime tree. All we have to do is surrender, and Krishna will do everything. He makes all the adjustments. Material energy can become immediately spiritual. Mahamaya becomes immediately yogamaya. The lotus flower of Braj, when Krishna steps out of his house in Nandagram, it contracts and becomes very small. He takes a few steps, walks for a few minutes without any difficulty or hardship, and he arrives in Vamshivat, 40 kilometers away. But then when Jatila wants to come to Vamshivat, or wants to come to Radhakund, then the lotus flower expands and expands and expands and that 25, 30 kilometers from Yava to Varakun becomes 3 million kilometers. And she walks and she walks and she walks and she walks, and it takes her so long to get there. So this is the energy. Of course, this is the holy Dham, but Krishna's energy, it's one electricity, and the master electrician can make it heat the house or cool the house. So that's how we see amazing miracles happen when you bring two entities together. When you bring two entities together, then amazing miracles appear. One entity is Bhagavan, Sri Krishna, and the other entity is the surrendered devotee. When the surrendered devotee makes an alliance with Bhagavan Sri Krishna, then amazing, wonderful feats of service and action are performed. Look at Srila Prabhupada. One surrendered devotee joining forces with Bhagavan Sri Krishna Damodar and going forth and conquering the whole world. How is it possible? No one could understand, but anything's possible for God. So here's another example. There it is. It's a miracle. Kadamba flowers out of season, popping off a lime tree. So anybody that's a little bit clever-minded, modern type, scientifically groomed, he will say, well, the thing is, it's like this. I think a kadamba tree was grafted. A branch of the kadamba tree was grafted onto the lime tree. And then that particular branch of the lime tree made kadamba flowers. It was already done. Nittai knew about that. He did it last time. He grafted it on there last time he came through. So the mundane scientists who are absorbed in materialistic ego, refusing to identify themselves as servants of Krishna, but relentlessly identifying themselves as the enjoyer, as the center, as God himself, they will never be able to see the hand of the Lord. Never be able to see the transcendental workings of the Lord and his devotees. They can't see it, and even if they could see it, they won't believe it. They won't believe how it happens. So now, what happens? He becomes, he can't check his emotions. When I said, I came Harshita. Apanasambari mala gantiya satvari anila intinada prabhagochari. He was overwhelmed with emotions. He quickly made a garland and rushed off to give it to Nityananda. Kadambera mala deki Nityananda rai paramasantosha mala dilena galai. When Nityananda saw the garland of kadamba flowers, he accepted it with great satisfaction. Kadamba malara gande sakala vaishnava vivala haila deki maha anubhav. All the Vaishnavas became overwhelmed on seeing that wonderful incident. And smelling the sweet fragrance of the kadamba garland. So that was solid proof. They all saw it, and they, seeing is believing, they saw that event, that wonderful event. And then they also smelled it, the sweet fragrance of the kadamba garland. And shortly after that, another wonderful incident took place. We'll find out tomorrow what that is. We see throughout the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, wonderful things happening, and the devotees who are witnessing those wonderful things that are happening with one particular devotee and the Lord, or many devotees, they all rejoice together. They all become vismaya, they all become amazed and bewildered and overjoyed. And this is what happens in the Sangha Vaishnavas. There's always amazing things happening to this devotee, then that devotee, and then the other devotees, they're observing it. So look at the wonders of the Lord here. And look at the wonders. It's like the striking of lightning. Sometimes it strikes here, sometimes it strikes there. So the merciful touch and glance of the Lord sometimes strikes this devotee, and sometimes that devotee. And everyone says, wow, this is amazing. He was nobody. Then suddenly he got inspired, and now he's chanting, and he got initiated, and it's amazing. The ways of the Lord are most amazing. And it's a miracle. It's what we call miraculous. And there's countless events of this. And then in the Vaishnava Raja Sabha, an association of devotees, they look around and say, yeah, the Lord did it again. Isn't our Lord wonderful? Isn't he amazing? Isn't he so kind and sweet and charming? And that, look, oh look, he saved Jagai Mate. Oh look, he saved the leper. Oh look, this one, that one. So everyone is always, it's an eternal pastime. The Lord is always acting in amazing ways for the pleasure of his devotees. And the devotees are always becoming satisfied by the workings of the Lord. Santosh, are becoming satisfied by the workings of the Lord in their lives and in the lives of other devotees. And they're quite happy with that. Because in the among true Vaishnavas, envy does not exist. Paramo nirmatsaranam satam. The true worshippers of the Bhagavat, they're not envious. In fact, if one is, dharma prajitikati vachva paramo nirmatsaranam satam. If one is envious, then he gets thrown far away. He and his kapa dharma and kaitava dharma, he gets thrown away. So he can never enter the Vaishnava Sangha. The Bhagavat, the worship of Bhagavan and the worship of the Bhagavatam is for the Bhagavats who are free from envy. So then they can see the workings of the Lord and they can appreciate when the devotees are blessed by the Lord and uplifted by the Lord. Oh, look, so-and-so made so much advancement, so much improved. This is wonderful. Maybe my lucky number will come up next month or whatever. So this is reassuring. It's not, oh, this happened 500 years ago, this wonderful event of the Lord interacting with his devotees and doing miraculous, wonderful things which everyone's amazed about and satisfied about. It's happening all the time. In the field of preaching, in terms of conversion from conditioned life to devotional life, and the field of devotional life from somewhat less advanced to more advanced and most advanced. It's a gradual evolution of consciousness and conception. So this is what we see, and we watch the evolutionary process. No one is forever stagnant in the waters of devotion. In the river of devotion, no one is forever stagnant because the water is always moving. What is it called? It's called a bhakti dhara. Bhakti dhara, the current of devotion. It's moving much faster than the Ganga. And it's much more pure than the Ganga. Because it's prem giving. Of course, the Ganga gives prem also in Mayapur. But there's bhakti dhara. It's a river of mercy. Kripa dhara, bhakti dhara. It's ever flowing. If one is in contact with that bhakti dhara, he will become pure. He'll be pushed along. Pushed along. If you fall into the river, you're pushed along. And you get caught up on the bank here and there. And then you're holding on the bank and some straws or some weeds over there. Then the pushing of the water of bhakti is more and more. Then you let go and go forward and downstream more. And this way, then you get in the middle of the stream, you bump into some old flotsam and drag grasses and foam and get float around there and maybe go off to the side and get stuck up in some whirlpools. And the whirlpools are going around like this, and you see on the side of a river, all of a sudden some currents rise and fall. Then again, you're down the river. That's ongoing. It's moving. There's no stagnation in bhakti. This bhakti is ever fresh. Sometimes she watches, but she's watchful and caring, careful, full of care. She doesn't forsake devotees.